joined now on the show. Twangi Kalula is going to bring us our final review for today's show before we head into our interview section. And Twangi's talking about quite an interesting book. This is our second South African title on today's show. And this one's called The Shadow State, and it's by Jeff Wicks. So this book, The Shadow State, traces the shocking murder of a whistleblower, Babita Deokran, a Gauteng health official who was gunned down in August 2021. While the hitmen were caught, the masterminds behind her assassination remain in the shadows. So this was Wicks's investigation, which exposed the dark networks of state capture, and it's a gripping expose from everything I've heard. And of course, Twangi Kalula loves to dig his teeth into these kinds of stories, so we invited Twangi into the show to tell us a little bit more about The Shadow State by Jeff Wicks.
I often think about corruption in South Africa like I think about the rugby. It feels like a national pastime. It brings us together at Braai's, and we all have a lot to say from the sidelines. But when it comes down to it, very few of us have the willingness or aptitude to grab the ball and fight the good fight. When Babita Deokran, a single mother and chief accountant at the Gauteng Department of Health, took steps to put an end to billions of rand of tender fraud, she paid the ultimate price and was assassinated outside her home. Seasoned investigative journalist Jeff Wicks picked up the story and was determined to shed light on the dark web of criminality so that Babita's courage wouldn't be in vain. Thank you for joining us, Jeff.
Thank you so much for having me.
So weeks after Babita's death, you kind of approached her family and the story kind of stuck with you. And you made a commitment to them that you would see it to the end and kind of shed light on all of it. What really resonated with you with this particular story?
I think we all understand the recent history of the state capture epoch, and I think there should be an awareness that state capture has not ended, but in fact morphed in our country. I mean, I'm an investigative journalist, so we don't really get involved in the day-to-day crime stories, which are so prevalent as well. But by dint of Babita's position at the Gauteng Health Department as chief accountant, she would know where the bodies are buried in the ledgers. And then the manner in which she was killed was so brutal and had so much intent behind it that it was obvious then that it was a hit, and it was a hit intended to send a message. And I think like any good journalist, you push forward trying to understand the why behind anything. And that was the question we sought to answer first with our investigation through News 24 and then in the book, is trying to understand exactly why an innocent woman had to die. And she had to die at the hands of nefarious networks of extraction that have stolen billions upon billions of rands from a public hospital. And that's the real tragedy of Babita Deokran's tale.
I mean, it's ultimately a sad, tragic story, but the way you've told it is incredibly riveting. And there were many ways you could have told the story, but I was fascinated that you chose a first-person narrative. Why did you decide to go that route?
I think in as much as it was Babita's story, you know, we picked up on what was her final investigation. And she was able to get to a certain point before she was assassinated and murdered. And the challenge for us was then to take up those cudgels and say, well, we're going to continue this work as far as we can, because we didn't want Babita Deokran to have died in vain, or certainly I didn't want that to be the status quo. So it was an immense challenge from a personal perspective, not only to pursue the story, but to take on the threat and risk that Babita had taken on herself. And of course, there were times where it was scary and the danger was very real. And you have to ask yourself at some point as a journalist, is this a story worth dying for? And often the answer is no, but in this case it is yes, because this is way bigger than any one person. You know, there are millions of people who depend on the public healthcare network in Gauteng and nationally. And that money was being diverted from an impoverished and perennially understaffed and under-resourced hospital. The cost could be measured in lives. We don't know what that cost is. We know that Babita paid the ultimate price. There will be other deaths linked to this extraction. And when she filed her report into these suspicious transactions and called for an investigation and froze funds, she was murdered. There was no investigation and funds were released. Yeah. So when we realized that her report had been covered up, we then had a duty to take her story forward and to prevent these pernicious networks of extraction from operating further, because we were the only ones that knew about it at that point.
I mean, I often interview journalists on this particular show or review books by them. And I think the common theme is that newspapers are struggling. It's a selfless career. And I think the one thing you do really great in the book is lay out how much work goes into an investigation of this scale. Can you just give us a slight overview of the amount of effort you had to put in to get to the end of this book?
Certainly. We were able to break the story open because we had a data set, and it was not a small data set. We had a forensic image of Babita Deokrant's phone, and we confined ourselves to the last month of her life. That was 16,000 lines of data on an Excel spreadsheet. Then we had the contents of her laptop. That was 60,000 emails and various hundreds upon hundreds of documents and ledgers, which we had to try and make sense of. So, and that's what few people understand about investigative journalism, is that you see the headlines and you see the outcomes. But in reality, this has been a four-year project. That is the time investment there. And then before we even committed a single word to a page in the first story that we broke, I was off diary for months, just reading and plotting and trying to understand exactly what she'd found and following the money. And it's a slow pursuit and it's often thankless, but the reality is it remains important. And I was thinking about the same thing this morning. We have such a small cohort of investigative journalists in South Africa because of the shrinking media climate. And oftentimes, the ink of investigative journalists is the thin black line between total capture. And not to say that journalists are the be-all and end-all. There are good South Africans all over the place. But the Fourth Estate has an immense responsibility and role to play in trying to pull this country back from the mafia state backslide.
And I ended up leaving kind of this book feeling like it was just the tip of the iceberg, that there were many Babita Deokrants out there. And what are you hoping that ordinary South Africans take away from the book, and what their role in this kind of fight against corruption and state capture looks like?
I think Babita's story is not unique in the sense that she was a good, hardworking civil servant who had merely done the right thing and was killed for it. You know, those stories permeate our news cycle. We've seen it recently all over the place, in Cape Town and in Gauteng. It's always the auditors and the liquidators and the police officers, anyone who becomes an obstacle to corruption. And in the way that her story is unique is how much information we had, and we can really paint a depraved picture of extraction. For this book, the devil is in the detail. We have been privy to aspects of the Gauteng Health Department that we never would have been able to find had we not gotten her laptop. And what the book should do is it should force everyone who read it to place themselves in Babita's shoes and ask yourself the question, what would I have done in that situation? And it's an interesting confrontation to have internally, and I had to have it in writing the book, because it makes you understand the brevity of life and how quickly it can be taken away. So when South Africans read this book, and I hope that they do because it honors her memory, place yourself in her shoes. Just as you read it, look around at your family members, look around at the life that you have and the job that you have, and understand that if you were placed in that position, would you still do the right thing? Would you still take the chance to stand against corruption if you looked around you and understood that everything you had could be taken away from you in an instant and you wouldn't see it coming?
Talia, I was left with that and many other questions. I think the story is informative, it's chilling, it's thought-provoking, and it reads like a thriller, even though it is the reality of our lives as South Africans. The Shadow State, Why Babita Deokrant Had to Die by Jeff Wicks was published by Tafelberg and retails for 370 Rand. FMR.